Okay, good morning. It looks like everybody's here. Let me just say that the economy in California is looking pretty good. Not as good as it's been, but definitely on the mend. But we still have a $10 billion structural deficit and a wall of debt to come. Our finances were plunged into turmoil by the Great Recession and a decade of short-term fixes and fiscal gimmicks. This is not the time to delay or evade. This is the time to put our finances in order. And that's precisely what this May revision intends to do. Because of the increase in revenue, we're reducing the amount of tax extensions that I'm asking for. We're also adopting some very important tax incentives to spur jobs. And I also propose to pay down a substantial amount of the debt that's been built up. I don't want to continue the games and the gimmicks of the past. The total debt that's been built up by these gimmicks is about $34.7 billion. Later on, I'm going to explain exactly what that consists in, and I'll lay out the whole plan. But let's go to the first slide, and you can see where we are. The budget deficit was $26.6 billion in February. It needed today is still $10.8 billion. So when some people come and say, hey, you got some more money, we're out of the woods. Untrue. We have a serious structural deficit now and into the future unless we cure it. And the May revision has a remedy that will eliminate that deficit, put California's finance on a strong and honest footing. So let me just show you where we are here. $13.4 billion in serious cuts and other solutions. That's probably the biggest set of reductions that we've ever seen around here that's real. As you remember, you'll get to it a little later on. You'll see where before it was just gimmicks. $6.6 billion will be the two-year increase in new revenues. That's part in the current year, part in the next year. Now, what the year after that, one doesn't know. The budgets, as you look back over 10 years, are more often wrong than they're right. Higher spending, $2.2 billion. Part of that, most of it, is Proposition 98. It captures the increased revenue and redirects it to schools, which means it's not available for the other 60% of the budget, which involves higher education, public safety, and all the rest. There's also some higher spending in the mental health department and in the corrections that represented unrealistic future cuts that the last administration proposed but were not able to realize. The Prop 10 litigation is now in court. That's going to be held up. It could well go beyond the budget year, so we're not going to count that. The remaining deficit, 9.6, put in 1.2 reserve, which is, I think, prudent, and there's where you have it. Let's take the next slide and give a more graphic. We started with 26.6. You see approximately $20 billion over the next 3 years. We've got half the job done, but we're still looking at essentially a $10 billion structural deficit, and that's what we want to deal with. Let's take the next slide. This assumes the extension of the taxes. Okay, assuming that the legislature and the voters approve, we get the tax extensions that I'm asking for, still the spending goes all the way back here to the time of Governor Reagan. So spending in relationship to per capita income is definitely one of the lowest points in 4 decades. Now, let me give you just some key changes to the May revision. That's the next slide. The revenue gain is 6.6. I know you're going to focus on that, but we've taken almost half of it and reduced the tax package. That's income tax and the enterprise zone tax break. We modify that to give the taxpayers a break. Required public education spending, 1.6. Prop 10 litigation, we take out $1 billion, canceling we reduce our borrowing. And that's really a big part of the story, reducing the wall of debt. And then other changes, $400 million, that's the in corrections and the mental health, built up, again, gimmicks. A year ago, they said they're going to get that. They couldn't get it, so-called unallocated costs. Now, if you add that up, it's a little more than $5 billion. If we don't get to abolish redevelopment, that adds another $1.7 billion, and that takes us eats up the $6.6 billion and more. So that's the May revision. Now, what's the goal here? What are we trying to achieve? Let's go to the next slide. We want to eliminate 43 boards and commissions. There will be more to come, but we lay out in the materials that I gave you the elimination of those boards. We cut out 5,500 state positions, and we dropped general fund spending back to 72-73. And maybe bring back slide 3 because I just like to emphasize where we were here. Yeah, slide 3. So we're back to 72. That's where we are. So when people say we're spending too much money, we're relative to the wealth, this is where we are. I might say, by the way, for those critics of California who say California is a failed state, people are all moving to Texas, the fact is this year the increase in our collective personal income will be $75 billion. And if you divide that by the number of people, it's about $2,000 per person. And we'll get the same amount next year. So any state that can generate $4,000 per person is a very powerful state indeed. That's why we are the eighth or ninth largest political entity in the world. Let's go now to slide 6. Next thing we do, besides cut, we want to restore education spending. We go to 52.4. That's about $3 billion more than I expected in January. But go back there to 2007, 2008, when we were riding the big mortgage bubble. Schools were getting a lot more money, and we haven't reached. It's going to take us a number of years to get there. But this is a very solid result for repairing our schools. Let's go to the next slide. We also now want to deal with the real economy. So I change the enterprise zones, or I propose to give enterprise zone credits to new jobs only. There are consultants that go tell businesses that have already hired people maybe a year before that you can get a tax credit from the state. So the tax credit did not provide any stimulus, but merely paid people for doing what they're already going to do. So we want to modify the enterprise zone proposal and focus it on new jobs, and we think if we do that, that will encourage new jobs. It will also recapture about $130 million of what would have been almost $1 billion tax elimination. Encourage investments in California through mandatory single sales. That, again, was a tax break that I want to eliminate. The in-state businesses have to pay a single sales according to a mandatory formula. Out-of-state located companies can pick their own. It's unfair. It's a competitive disadvantage to California companies. And we think if we restrict the single sales tax incentive or tax methodology to those who create jobs in California, it will stimulate jobs. Then third, we take some of the savings from the single sales tax credit, because it is $1 billion saving, and we plow it into eliminating a certain amount of the sales tax on equipment purchases. This is something that manufacturers have long wanted, and we put that in as a spur to manufacturing jobs. And then finally, there's a hiring tax credit, which is different than the enterprise zone. It's not really been very effective, and we change it by increasing eligibility in a way that will make it more usable, and therefore we think will stimulate more jobs. All right, next slide, please. This is just to remind everybody of what the previous approach to budgeting was. That's what we mean by smoke and mirrors and gimmicks. There was lots of talk about a $60 billion budget cut. 84% of it was one time or illusory. It didn't really come to be. So that's the kind of gimmickry that then builds up financial obligations. Because when I say gimmick, it's a form of borrowing from the future. And you keep piling that up, and you weaken our finances. You take money away from solid programs because you don't face the music. All right, let's take the next slide. When I say the gimmicks, what are they? Well, we're deferring payments to schools. We say we owe them the money, but we pay them a year late. And that's about $10 billion. The economic recovery bond was celebrated as some great tearing up of credit cards. It was just a longer-term credit card. It was borrowing. We still owe $7 billion on that, and we got to pay it. Loans from special funds, we got to pay them back. We take from funds that legally are for one purpose, and we throw them into the general fund. You got to pay them back. Unpaid cost to local government schools and community colleges for state mandates, 4.3. You got to pay them. We've been delaying them, but we owe the money. Underfunding of Prop 98, that's about $3 billion. And then borrowing from local government 1A, we owe 1.9 there. Deferred Medi-Cal cost, payroll, delaying the payroll for June. Deferred payments to CalPERS, which we got a little holiday there, and then borrowing from the transportation fund. That's 34.7. That's what I call part of the wall of debt. Go to the next slide, you'll see the wall of debt. The 48.2 over here, that is what the total debt will be if we issue the general obligation bonds and the lease purchase bonds that are already authorized. There's 48.2 sitting out there. Then the bonds sold, of course, they're already sold, and we're paying interest on that. Let's go to the next slide. This is another aspect of debt. This is what we're someday going to have to pay every year. Interest on the unemployment insurance debt. That's $500 million this year and every year into the future because we have this gigantic unemployment insurance debt. We borrow from the federal government $10 billion. So now they're telling us we got to start paying interest, not paying down the principal, just interest. That's a half a billion. When we issue that debt that I showed you on the last slide, that $48 billion in general obligation and lease, that's going to cost us $3.2 billion out of the general fund to service that new debt that we are authorized and will eventually issue. The 9.9 is the Proposition 98 maintenance factor, and what that means is we are obligated to increase on a yearly basis by $9.9 billion the money the state has to pay to local schools. We don't do that, you know, immediately. We're going to do it in stages. But that is a real obligation that over time the state has to deal with. So when I say there's a wall of debt out there, yes, we've got some more revenue, but we have a lot of obligations. And I don't want to have California in the position that we see in Washington, where they're up against the debt limit. You have the Republicans who want to maintain massive tax cuts for the richest people. You have Democrats who won't face the music and cut back entitlements. The truth is both have to get out of their comfort zone and come together to create a balanced spending program for America. Here in California, we actually have a balanced spending proposal. We've already taken half of it and put it into law, which is amazing, but we got another $10 billion or so to go. Let me just put up the last slide here. That debt, I've just rounded off 34.7, which comes from the gimmicks of the last decade. By my plan, by the time we get to 2014, we're going to pay it down to $6 billion. If you adopt the Republican deficit, that 35 plan, that 35 will go up. It'll go up because they have a deficit this year they leave. It's probably $8 or $9 billion. Next year, you'll carry it forward. We'll have a $20 billion deficit next year. So that debt doesn't go away. This is a program that's honest. It's all laid out there, and I think it makes a lot of sense for California, and I'd like our state to maybe send a message back to Washington. Yes, you have to cut, and you have to be willing to pay the tax revenues and run a reasonable and efficient government. That's the proposal on the May revise, and I'll be glad to take any questions that you have.
Do you want the revenue, the alignment, realignment.
Yes, crucial. The realignment saves money, and it does something about the 70% recidivism rate, and I think it will do, it makes a lot of sense.
So you would redirect some of this, a considerable amount of the additional revenue into the realignment program, right?
Well, most of it's going to 98, if you go back and where it...
But even some of the realignment income taxes go into the schools, right?
Right, some of that will. But well, the main thing on realignment, I want to make sure that we fund the, when we move state inmates to the local level, we want to make sure we have enough money to handle that.
The reason I asked that question is that you were, I won't say bragging, but pointing out that the level of state spending as a result of, as a percentage of personal income would be falling to 72. But isn't that a little bit disingenuous if money is being sent around the general fund into local governments and schools? That's not counted in that, is it not?
That's probably, I won't say, well, let me see here. Anna, do you want to?
If you look at,
Well, wait, you know, this thing is going to go up and down, okay? That's true. And the economy is pretty depressed. So that's why it drives down. As the economy gets better, that'll come up. But it is a measure that we're not way out of line here. But maybe you can explain it better.
And if you adjust for realignment, it's still at historically low levels. It's only been at that level in the last 30 years about 3-4 times.
And by the way, that big notch up there was the bailout, too, when back in my era.
One more question. Your own projections here have general fund revenues going up by almost 25%, or actually almost 24% between now and 4 years, up to a level of $119 billion. That would seem to say the Republicans have a point about having some sort of spending limit so that we just don't see a new surge of revenue.
Yeah, we need a spending limit. We definitely should put a cap in, and that would give the voters a real assurance that to the extent there's more money, we're going to pay down debt.
So you're willing to have a spending limit as part of the package that goes to the voters?
Yes. Yes, I want a spending
limit. How about the pension reform that they also want? Are you willing to have that as well?
Well, we're going to propose pension reform. That's more contentious, and I'm told there's going to be a lot of pension reform on next year's ballot anyway. So one way or the other, I think we're going to get whatever pension reform.
When do you want to have this election?
As soon as possible.
I mean, like in the fall?
I'd like it. Yeah, that's the earliest. I think that's the more logical time.
Governor, you know there have been a couple of proposals out there, maybe proposals, maybe just talk, since you put something out forward from Democrats about maybe the cuts happen in Republican districts first if they're not willing to accept the taxes. Senator Steinberg says maybe locals should be able to tax themselves, which could be a way around here. What do you think about that?
Well, I want to look when you start – localizing reductions, that I think could exacerbate partisan bitterness and might not enjoy the respect and confidence of the voters. So I'd want to look very carefully at that. I have not seen what the proposal is. The second point, if we don't get tax extensions and if we have the future that I'm projecting, there will be all sorts of new tax initiatives, whether it be the Steinberg local option tax or some of those that some of the unions have proposed. If I proposed a stable, balanced program, if that is defeated in the legislature, or even if it's defeated by the voters, then there will be other efforts to deal with this wall of debt, structural deficits. And I've often used the phrase from Thomas Hobbes, bellum omnes contra omnes, bellum omni contra omnes, war of all against all. It will be, everyone will retreat to their corner and devise strategies on what California does. This takes into account the partisan differences, and I put it together as best I think it can be done. And if this thing falls apart, then there will be all manner of untoward outcomes and animosities and divisions. I think it'll be very divisive for California. I think we'll flounder. It will not be good for the credit rating. It won't be good for the business climate. I think this makes a lot of sense, and that's why most of the business groups in California support this.
Governor, how do you propose to capture the tax revenues between now and when you could have a special election? Are you asking the legislature to approve these taxes outright?
Well, that's yes, of course. That's what I said back in March in Riverside. I don't know which one of you were there, but it's been covered. What else can we do? I had a plan for June. Then we get the election, and then we get the tax vote. Today, we have to have the vote by the legislature, then a vote by the people.
Schools have said that a fall election would be problematic. Would you agree to delaying this election until June?
I don't think that's a good idea, and we have a way to phase it out that could work. We have a thought on how to do that, but and that would be part of the discussion with the Republicans. And remember this, there has been some people saying, why don't I just get the taxes without a vote? Now, I've been talking to a number of Republicans, and I haven't heard one say that they want to give taxes without a vote. In fact, one of the Republicans said...
What's that? Cell phone.
That's what's doing it. Okay.
That's I don't have a cell phone. Anyway, one Republican... I do have an iPhone, but I pay for it. One of the Republicans said that he does not want a cap on spending. He doesn't want pension reform. He doesn't want regulatory reform. He wants a straight-up vote on taxes, and he wants to lead the campaign against the taxes. So that there's another – there may be votes from people who are against taxes but want to put it before the people so there can be a great debate in California what really is our future.
Would you support that local tax option as an alternative if your plan –
I'm going to keep my powder dry as to what I'm going to do. If this doesn't work, there's going to be a lot of revisions and alternatives and corrections I'm going to have to face. But
Governor,
I'm not going
there
yet.
Are you negotiating? A lot of the Republicans are saying, or some Republicans are saying, that they were right to oppose the tax extensions because now you're pulling back, at least on the income tax one for 1 year. Aren't you concerned that they're going to be even more emboldened now and say, look, if we dig in even more, we'll block this completely?
If they do, you know, we can go back to our – can we get that slide on the 34.7? 34.7.
There we have it in line.
So, yeah, no, 34.7. That slide. You're going the wrong way. Keep going. You're going the wrong way. Other way.
Oh, last slide. Okay.
You went by it.
No, you went too fast. This is not. Keep going. Let's go back a little bit. No, that's the wall of debt. All right. So
there you go. This
is the result of gimmicks, and you could add another 10 or 20 billion to that. The finances get worse and worse, and then you have a downturn, and it becomes exacerbated. We're seeing the debt clock for the country. I don't think we need a debt clock for California. We need to start paying it off, and that's what Republicans can do. And they're to get their vote, they're going to ask certain things, and I'm willing to certainly negotiate. I want to get the tax extensions, and I'm going to have to, you know, make whatever accommodations I have to make.
But
Governor,
you
still need them.
You've been going around the state saying that if we don't get these extensions, we could see $4 billion or more in cuts to education. Is that in here? Do we have cuts if this plan isn't through? What happens to education if we don't get these extensions?
Well, that's a good question. What happens to the budget? I mean, if we don't have any tax extensions, then what? That's a good. We're gonna have an $8 billion hole, and next year we're gonna have $20 billion.
So you don't address that in your revise, though, as far as what will happen.
Well, it's not a what will happen. I'm proposing what should happen. If that's rejected, well, we'll go to Plan B, C, and D. But I'm not gonna try to anticipate because there's, you know, a variety of things we can do.
And what is Plan B or C or D?
I'm not going to give you a plan. I'm not going to give the Republicans a roadmap to ruin. I've given them a roadmap to success, and that's what this May revise is.
Governor, why?
And by the way, I've asked Anna after this to list very carefully the so-called Republican plan and how it. Your preliminary estimate is it's $8 or $9 billion deficit this year, and then $20 billion next year. So that's back into the hole again. And I think that's bad. I think it's bad in the country. It's bad in California. It's bad for people who bought houses they couldn't afford with money they didn't have. I mean, I want to see balanced, honest budgeting, and that's what I'm proposing.
But Governor, you're proposing to fund Prop 98 about $3 billion above what you proposed in January.
Why? I mean, I realize Prop 98 goes up when revenues
right.
increase, but you could choose to suspend 98 and direct that money toward other cuts that you and Democrats have agreed to, or use it for other. I mean,
remember,
that $3 billion, schools aren't even planning for that $3 billion, right?
Look, we still got deferrals. People who have charter schools who can't borrow money go out of business. We ought to pay our bills on time. It's not a good example for the state itself to be a scofflaw or to be always kind of cadging from local government or schools or charter schools or the people themselves. I think we got to pay our bills. This is honest. And there's something infantile about the idea we spend and then we borrow. Well, in balance, that's okay, but we've exceeded the limit. And what I'm saying is the wall of debt has to be brought down. My plan does that. The alternative is to increase the debt, and ultimately increase the cuts.
Does that mean
I'm letting 98 is what it is. It takes a two-thirds vote to suspend it.
Does that mean that your January plan was not honest because it relied on a deferral that added to this wall of debt?
No, it said exactly what it is. I'm telling you what it is. These solutions, and we could take you back to that other one that showed you most of the last 3 years, were not real. This year, we have a $9 billion carry-on. That budget, that was in January, we said we had $9 billion carried over. Isn't that right? $9 billion. Okay. In October, they said the budget was balanced. That means in 90 days, they went $9 billion in the hole. The truth is, they knew it wasn't true at the time. I'm going to tell you the way it is. And I laid out in the budget in January whatever deferrals and spending we had to do, because you can only cut so much. I mean, we do have borrowing. The amount, but how much? And how much do we kick the can down, and how much do we embrace the necessary discipline? And I think that's what we're doing. Yes?
Governor, you are proposing to eliminate the Department of Mental Health. What's your vision for how this new Department of State Hospitals and
Diana is standing right in the back here waiting to be recognized. Come up here, Diana. It's your idea, so you explain it.
The realignment proposal moves the community mental health programs and community drug and substance abuse programs to the local level. And what is left is the operation of the state hospitals. It's our proposal at this time not to let the state hospitals be left over, but to affirmatively go forward, create a state department of state hospitals now, get the leadership that those state hospitals need, and address the long-standing problems that have existed in the operation of our state hospitals.
That's all she knows, so it should be good enough for you. Anybody else?
Governor,
yeah.
You just said that you intend to do the have the legislature vote on the tax package and then have the voters vote
yes.
after the fact.
Right.
The Republicans aren't putting up the four votes to even put it on the ballot. How do you intend to get four Republican votes to approve the
Well, that's part. They know that. The Republicans I'm talking to know that they have to vote the tax extensions.
But they're not providing the votes to put it on the ballot at this point. How are they going to vote?
Well, they're providing encouraging words about putting the votes on the ballot, but not something I can count yet.
What are you going to do to try and reach out to Republicans to both get them to vote?
I met with them last week in person. I spoke with some of them within the last hour, and I will continue working as hard as I can in the next couple of weeks to get those four votes.
Governor, are they listening?
Oh, I know they're listening, but they also have very raucous caucuses that want them to do the opposite. So,
how many are you talking to? Four?
I'm talking to anybody I think that is a plausible vote, and that's more than four and less than ten.
Governor, on that point of extending...
that's good.
On the point of extending the taxes with the two-thirds vote until you get an election, does that break your pledge at all? Because, I mean, you told the voters that there would not be a tax increase without a vote. As of July 1st, that would become a tax
increase. Conundrum. Right. So what do I do? What do we do? The Republicans wanted this. This is a Republican plan officially modifying what I said a year ago. It's a Republican amendment, and I have to accept it. It's part of the negotiation. There's give and take in this business.
Do you think the good news on revenue?
Otherwise, you let the Republicans block all tax extensions. So this, to me, keeps the spirit, because this is, there are no taxes without a vote of the people, because there will be a vote of the people. Or there won't be taxes and there won't be a vote. So they are literally, I'm not being too Jesuitical here, this is a program of taxes with a vote of the people. Or let me put it this way. I said no taxes without a vote of the people.
You think the good news on revenues makes that sales pitch more difficult, eliminates some of the...
Not in the Republicans that I've spoken to in the last 24 hours.
What about among voters, though, trying to sell it to voters?
Well, we've done recent surveys, and it's substantially ahead. Among the people, if you ask people, are you paying, is this something you're paying attention to? Of the subset of those who are giving this real attention, the margin, the opposition to the tax extensions has not gotten out of the low 30s. So I think there's a very good chance, and those who say it can't win don't understand it. They don't think they see the survey data. And secondly, the idea, hey, we're going to tax you whether you like it or not, is not my program.
But those surveys were taken before all this good news. $6.6 billion, that's a lot of money.
No, we took a survey last week, assuming it's $6 billion. I've already surveyed that. Yes, what?
You want to release that one, too?
We might give you a few numbers, yeah.
Governor,
it's not my poll. Somebody else did it, and I got to see it. So.
Support having
Wait,
a spending limit.
Harmon, weren't you going to ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay. I diverted you once before.
Okay, I just want to get this straight. You are taking income taxes off the table.
What?
Income taxes are off the table?
No, just for 1 year.
For 1 year?
Just the income tax part. Everything else stays.
But are you negotiating against yourself by taking that off the table for a year?
Well, I'm negotiating against myself when I describe the pension reforms and then say, how about it? A lot of this is, hey, what do you think? And it's coming from my side. But I think as we get closer and we've had enough time to talk about it, we're going to start getting some good give and take.
So the tax plan is the same from January other than the 2011
this year's
income
exactly.
Tax is off the table.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. Okay.
Yeah.
In that vein, you said you're open to a spending limit. What else would you be willing to...
Well, now that would be negotiating against myself. I would say... More than one thing, but less than 53. All right.
You've sweetened the taxes in a couple ways.
Yeah.
A couple
Two ways
with the single sales factor, yeah. Enterprise zone changes too.
Yeah.
How much support from Republicans are you hoping to buy with that?
We'll see.
You
never know what moves people. This is really to make the plan better by encouraging the manufacturing sector.
Could you have done that without the additional revenues?
What?
Or is it really because of the additional revenues that you're able to offer those?
Well, it's a modification of the single sales. Instead of getting the whole billion, we use some of it to provide other tax incentives for business.
Governor, tactically, you kind of regret...
And by the way, it's not so much Republicans. You're saying to business, look, very few companies benefit from the single sales. Why not join with me, eliminate it, and we'll pour back a significant amount that will benefit you California companies. Yes.
Tactically, do you regret enacting the cuts, the original 13.6, whatever it was, as early as you did? Would you have more leverage now with that still hanging
the
over
cuts,
your head?
Look, it's almost a miracle we got those cuts, and I think it's very solid. Those are the most significant reductions in government probably in the last decade that are ongoing and real.
Governor, if you don't get the tax extensions, you're going to have to squeeze a lot of savings in a short period of time. How are you going to do that? You're setting up schools and everybody else to really have to cut the last four months.
That'll be part of the plan. And that'll be, first of all, part of the discussion with the Republicans, how to do this. And I think it'd be premature to lay it out. We understand the problems of schools. And there would have to be some phase out if there was a defeat of the tax measure. But I don't think it's going to be defeated.
What changed your mind about enterprise zones? Why not eliminate them entirely as under the first proposal?
Don't see the votes there.
Nothing about the program that convinced you?
No. Well, look, there's always many ways to see these things. This is not, this is not dogmatics. This is different emphases, different points of view. And I think we can, to justify the enterprise zone, we ought to limit it to new jobs, not somebody who does something and then some consultant comes along and say, hey, look, if you pay me some money, I'll find you some money, like unclaimed property.
But you no doubt know that people who oppose your redevelopment plan would say the same thing. They're not the votes there for that.
Right, but the Republicans have now joined in. So the Republicans now want to get, in their plan, they want to get rid of redevelopment, which is interesting because when I was begging them to give me a vote, they said they can't do it.
They actually want to modify it. They want the Redevelopment Association's proposal, too. That's one of their ideas.
No,
the CRA proposal.
No.
They include both options in it and recognition of.
Well, you can't, you have to get rid of it because of the change in the Constitution, and then you can bring some of it back. Okay. That's all. They, by the way, this is up for discussion. I've given you the blueprint. And now, you know, the other architects will start to screw it up.
Do you have a reason to think that there are votes for redevelopment, though, because beyond the Republicans putting it in their proposals?
Well,
she
always thought that there are Republican votes for redevelopment because of the condemnation provision. But there are some Democrats who have strayed from the reservation. So it would take more Republicans to get it done.
Governor, what was the reason for getting rid of the income tax surcharge in 2011?
Just to share a little bit of the wealth.
But you're asking voters, you're telling voters we need more money, but at the same time you're saying we need to share the wealth. I mean,
at what level? I mean, this is a matter of judgment. I thought it was reasonable. There's another reason that these taxes haven't been withheld this year. So it was always going to be a hurdle, and to eliminate that, I think, would be a positive for the election. All right, I think we're one more. Okay.
How confident are you that we could have a budget by June 15th? As you know, this year will be the first time we'll be deducting the lawmakers' pay for every time that it's late, for every day that's late.
I'd say that's a very fine incentive that we're now going to be operating under. So I think that really, that could be the equalizer to get it all done. I think we will get it done. We may even get it done sooner. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Governor.